Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Good morning. What a joy to have you here at Graceland Church. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Who gained some pounds? Let's go. We need to turn this into muscle ASAP. Let's put some reps in. It is a fifth Sunday, and every fifth Sunday, we have our elementary students in with us for something we call Family Sunday. So we've got some of our amazing kindergartner to fifth graders in the house, and we do this thing called Brown Bag Sermon. So if you're a student here and you've got a brown bag, bring it all on up to the front and put it right here between these two plants on the stage, and then take a seat on the ground right in front of the stage. Let's hear it for our students, guys. Come on, let's really hear it for these kids. Let them know we love them. We love these guys. And then you can take a seat right there on the ground. I'm not looking. I've had multiple kids try to tell me to pick their bag this morning. They've been offering me money. No, I'm just kidding. No money offers. But I will close my eyes. And here's how this works if you've never seen it. I have to pick three of these bags randomly with my eyes closed. And they have items in it where these students try to stump Pastor Nathan or whoever is doing the brown bag sermon that week. Today, it's me. So I have to pick three of these and on the spot, preach a short three-point sermon that declares the gospel. So you guys can start praying for me now. Anybody want to take my spot real quick? I mean, this is high. No, I'm just kidding. You can't take me. I love the eagerness. Okay, so Jess, did you see that? We have multiple kids that want to practice doing brown bags. Maybe you can try it in kids' church one day, and they can prepare for doing it here on a Sunday. All right, I'm going to close my eyes. Navy, you want to put yours up here? Got your brown bag in there. All right, buddy. Here we go. Everybody's bag in here? Okay, my eyes are closed. I'm not looking. I'm going to pick very randomly. I got one. I'm not overthinking it. I got two. I got three. Okay. All right, whoever I didn't pick, don't worry. You're going to get to show your item after I do this sermon. Here's my first item. Okay. This is a little creature. Baby Stitch. It's an alien. Okay. Who brought Baby Stitch? Okay, wonderful. Is this Baby Stitch? Are we... You got it from the mall, and Baby Stitch is an alien. Is that correct? Okay. What planet? Is it a he or a she? Do we know? It's a he? Okay. And is that a donut? They have donuts on other planets? Sleepy Donut. All right, we got Sleepy Donut. Let's put him right here on this seat. Nice having you here, Sleepy Donut. Second item. Ooh, a Patriots football. Whoa, it's getting tense in here. Clearly the Hulé family is divided about the Patriots. One is from Boston, one is from LA. They have marital problems. We long time pastoral counseling going on. Who brought the Patriots football? Okay, are you... Oh, okay, so you... This is an enemy team. How about that Cowboys win on Thanksgiving Day? Let's go, they were looking good. All right, we have the Patriots football right there. Let's see what my third item is. A Band-Aid. Very nice. Who brought the Band-Aid in? Okay, that is a great idea. We have this is the one. A lot of times I don't know what's Sleepy's name again. Sleepy Donut. No, he has a name. Sleepy Donut. Okay, Sleepy Donut. All right, this is a pastors with props situation. I don't know if you guys have seen that Instagram page, but there's an Instagram page called Pastors with Props. Has anybody seen that? They're kind of making fun of the pastors. One of my uncles got on there, and one of our overseers and one of my mentors got on there, and I saw them recently. Okay, the Band-Aid is really helpful. Band-Aid is useful in a brown bag sermon. Here we go, three-point sermon, Pastors with Props. So sometimes in life, we face... our enemy. Can most of us agree that the Patriots are our enemy? Most all humanity is united about this. I'm sorry, Heather Hulé. Are there any other Patriots fans here? There's one, two. Okay, severely outnumbered, maybe three. Clearly, in God's house, the Patriots are the enemy. So in life, kids, I don't know if you guys know this. You probably do because you're part of our church. But God is God, and he has all the power. And it's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one make the all-powerful God. But we also have an enemy named Satan. The Bible talks about him, and he has no power over us. God protects us, but he tries to fight against God and tries to fight against the people of God, and it causes us to experience what's called spiritual warfare. We talk about that in church because they talk about it in the Bible. So we are actually in a spiritual battle against the enemy, and the enemy doesn't like us because he doesn't like God. But thankfully, we can put all our trust in God. And even when we get like a black eye from the enemy, and I don't mean like a physical one, but if we ever feel like life beats us up or our enemy knocks us down, the really good news is we have a God who loves us so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for us, take our place, defeat our enemy, the Patriots. Jesus defeats the enemy. It's not really the Patriots, it's Satan. But he defeats Satan. He defeats death so we don't even have to die. When our physical bodies die, when we're believers in Jesus, we are still alive with him in heaven. Isn't that awesome? He puts an amazing band-aid over our lives. And the Bible says we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. It's kind of a cool thing whenever we use a band-aid to be reminded of how God gives us this amazing spiritual band-aid. And by the way, even when we put a physical band-aid over a cut, isn't it a miracle that that cut heals? God made our bodies to actually heal. That is a miracle. And I'm so thankful that he heals our souls as well. And he heals us from any wounds we get from the enemy so that we can look just as peaceful and just as serene as sweet little sleepy donut. And by the way, I think there will be donuts in heaven, but they won't be caloric intake. I think it'll be like eating something really healthy, like an apple. You can just eat as many donuts you want. Don't take this theology to the Bible. I'm not sure if it's true, but I think in heaven, everything we do is going to be good for us, and we can overcome the enemy. We are healed by God through Jesus, and we have eternity with as many donuts as we want in heaven. Who's excited about that? Yeah. Amen. All right. Can everybody else show us what you brought in your brown bag? And I'm going to give these back. You can't reach it? Here. Here, let me put them up towards the edge. Pull out whatever you brought. Oh, we had a Chick-fil-A sauce packet. That's a good one. We have that makeup. We have a little bracelet that says, eat dirt. Wow. What was that? A dirty tissue? What is it, a wipe? It's a clean tissue. Big distinction. I like that. A little Vaseline. Very cute. A bouncy ball. Excellent. A dinosaur that can bite you. A whoopee cushion. Very good. Anybody else want to show me? We have a few more here. Who had this one? Is that yours, Navy? Show me what you brought, bud. And we have another one right here. That's not it? Is this one yours right here, buddy? Who had the Band-Aid? I forgot. Do you want your Band-Aid back? Oh, you brought that block. That's a good one. Here's the Band-Aid. And we have a few more here. Can we give a giant hand to our kids, everybody, as they take their seat? Oh, I forgot about Sleepy Donut. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and take your seats. Good job on the brown bags. That was fun. How did I do? Do you feel fed this morning by the word of God? Apparently, I don't know if that was a prophetic word about donuts in heaven. I'm not sure, but can we just claim that by faith? Anybody with me? No. Anybody with me about donuts in heaven? Clay is very much with me. Me and Clay both had a donut this morning, came in early together. So we have something really special today, a few things. We have a baptism at the end of this service. Come on, that's going to be amazing. We also have a panel of our staff that I'm going to invite up in just a minute. But first, I want to share with you some opening principles, and then the panel is going to discuss it. And you're in for a treat this morning to hear these testimonies. But Thanksgiving was on Thursday, as you know, and I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time. How many of you guys know, for us as believers, gratitude is not a one-day event? Anybody with me? Like, we are actually called by God, commanded by God to live grateful lives. And I'm a believer that science is actually catching up with God's word as we learn more and more. Faith and science are not opposed to each other. Science reveals what we already know to be true through the word of God. I'm such a believer in that. In fact, many leading physicists out there end up being people of faith because they see such miracles at the smallest molecular level of things that we could never understand. And one of the ways that science is still catching up to God's word is with psychology. Let me read you a little bit about gratitude. We didn't necessarily know these things psychologically until in this information age. Individuals with higher levels of gratitude experience better psychological well-being, including lower rates of depression, anxiety, and greater emotional functioning, including more positive effect, less negative effect, and higher life satisfaction. They have better cardiovascular and immune health and respond better to chronic stress. So that's what science is learning, which I agree with and I've experienced to be true. Here's what God's word has been saying for thousands of years and for all of eternity, because the word is forever. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A command from God that we are to be giving thanks to God for everything in the name of Jesus. So let me give you five quick principles that honestly might change your paradigm a little bit about gratitude, and I hope that's the case. Number one, we don't just give thanks, we give thanks to God. If you're a note taker, that's in your notes. It's important to note that as believers, we're not just walking around thanking the universe or thanking ourselves for working so hard or thanking the people that have blessed us, though it's great to thank people that bless us. We're thanking God. We're thanking the creator of life, the one who breathed breath into our lungs. And then we see that we're commanded to give thanks in the name of Jesus. So number two, we don't give thanks in our name, but in Jesus' name by faith. Everything we do in following Jesus is an act of faith. And so I want to introduce three simple words to you that you might have never heard. Gratitude by faith. Not just gratitude for everything that you understand now, but gratitude by faith in the name of Jesus. Number three in your notes, as Christians, we are called to gratitude for both what we can see and what we can't see. Gratitude by faith. Number four, we give thanks for the blessing we have now and the blessing that is still to come. So when we're celebrating Thanksgiving around the table, we're thanking God for all the blessings he's given us. We're also thanking him for the ways he is going to show himself faithful to his promise that we haven't even experienced yet. That's called gratitude by faith. And number five, in this way, our gratitude actually becomes a declaration of holding to the promises of God. So I have an assignment for you this morning, and I'm going to invite you to think about it while I share it with you. And while you hear these testimonies from our staff, and by the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to fill in one, two, or three things at the bottom of your notes in answer to this question. When you think of 2026, what are one to three things you want to have gratitude by faith for? In other words, what promises of God will you give thanks for now before you even see the answer? This will help change how you approach the new year, and it will shape you more into the likeness of Christ, a person of faith, peace, and gratitude. We are, at the end of the day, meant to approach everything in our life by faith. And one of the things I've learned in my walk with Jesus is some of the sweetest times of communion I've had with the living God are when I am worshiping him despite not seeing the answer to my prayers yet. When I am thanking him, not sure where the provision is going to come from yet. When I'm thanking him, when I still might have that relational problem, but I'm holding to his promise that he is going to help me. Has anyone ever experienced this? And my invitation to you is to frame all of 2026 in that way. We're only about a month away now from an entirely new year. And here's what I know. We get excited about a new year, and I'm glad for that. Let vision rise, let faith rise. But the truth is, unless something actually changes in your heart, you're going to slip back into the same patterns you've always slipped back into. But 2026 could be entirely different for you if you learn gratitude by faith. And I've actually prayed that God is going to just put some things on your heart that change the entire year for you. That's what I'm praying. I'm praying for actual transformation in your heart and in your year. Maybe something that stressed you out for the last year or last 10 years, I believe God wants to teach you to have gratitude by faith in his promise that will touch that thing you're stressed out about and give you peace in place of anxiety and a heart that overflows with gratitude. So I'm going to invite our staff to come join me up here on the front. And what I've asked them to do is share some examples from their life about how God has been faithful in the past and about how they're framing 2026 in answer to these questions. So come on up, guys. We're blessed with a really wonderful team here. We are creatures of habit. We sat in all the same seats that we sat in first service, which were unassigned. Pastor Jessica Kohler is down there on the end. That is my wife. You can give them all a hand. She's our children's pastor and does a lot of our admin. As you can see, she also leads worship from time to time. Very gifted there. Pastor Samuel Barajas is our youth pastor and does all kinds of things around the church here. Stephen Houlet is one of our recovery ministers and does all kinds of things as well. Pastor Rob Rates is an ordained Assemblies of God minister and is our prayer and care pastor here at the church. We are blessed to have you. Pastor Heather Houlet just recently got her credentials as an Assemblies of God minister and is in our adult ministries pastor and helps in various admin. And then James Younger is our worship leader. Let's give them all a hand. We're blessed with an awesome team. We have a tremendous sense of just unity and synergy together as a staff and as a board and as leaders here. And I'm just going to open the floor to you guys. What are some of the things, both in 2026, that you're choosing to have gratitude by faith for and perhaps some testimonies in your life where you've experienced this before?
Should I just go again first?
You can, sure.
Okay. I joked last service that had I known I sat in the first seat and was going to have to speak first, I wouldn't have sat in that seat, but I sat in it again, so I guess I'm just planning for it now. One of the things I shared earlier that I'd like to share again before I talk a little bit personally was just about something that a mentor had shared with me a while back, actually when we were first beginning church planting, and you know, things are very hard stepping out in faith with like no money, no place to live. You don't know anybody, new city, 3,000 miles away from your family. Like that was a pretty rough season for me, for us. And she was very encouraging to me, and she said, "Listen, I know that the world says that you've got to fake it until you make it." She said, "But I want to encourage you not to do that. Don't be fake." She said, "But I want to encourage you to faith it until you make it." And so talking about gratitude by faith, that's exactly what this is. It says, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know when. I don't know any of the, I have no answers to those question marks. But what I do know is who God is. And so I'm going to stand in faith on the promises of God, and that's how I'm going to make it. And so that's what I just love that. So if you ever hear anyone say, fake it till you make it, be like, well, I'm going to faith it till I make it. But for me, looking back on this past year and really just our lives since the beginning, Nathan shared last week that the verse that we've built our marriage and our ministry around is seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Speaking of these things as your needs, the things that you got to have to live. And, you know, coming into Christmas season, there's a lot of like financial strain. I don't know if you're feeling it. I feel a little bit. Maybe I didn't budget as good as I should have. And, I had family members calling me this week with their Christmas lists and asking me what my kids want. It just feels like money's just shooting out of the bank account right now at hyper speed, all these Black Friday sales and everything. But it's just a tough season, and even just where our country is and our economy, and I just feel a little more strapped. And also, you don't really get into ministry to make big bucks, so it's not why we do what we do. But what we have seen is because we've stepped out in faith and we've been obedient to what God has called us to do, he provides for us. And so grateful for this church and how well they take care of us. And we've been on both sides of things. We, you know, God provides, whether he provides in the paycheck, which is really nice because you know it's coming, like it's in the mail. Or he provides in the miracle. But no matter what, he provides. And we've seen it time and time again. And so there's a scripture in Philippians, the end of chapter 4, Paul's coming to a close in his letter to the Philippians, and he says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So let me tell you, if you have Christ Jesus, You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You have all that you need. And Paul is encouraging the Philippians and encourages us too. So what I wanted to just share with you is a story today of a time when God provided in the miracle for our family. And the same way that he has supplied from his glorious riches for us, he can do the same thing for you guys as well. So I just want to encourage you with this story. Nathan may have told this story once or twice before, but when we were in Los Angeles, we were church planting in Los Angeles, and at the time it was right after the recession. I think it would have been like 2013. We still owned a house in Pennsylvania because we couldn't sell it. And so we had a renter in there, but we still lost money every month. The rent never actually made the mortgage payment. So it was a loss every month. So anytime anything went wrong, it was just out of our pockets, which were not very deep. And so I just prayed and prayed, dear God, let nothing go wrong in this house, please. And it was October. We were about to go on a trip. His mom flew out to watch our kids. We were blessed with this trip. It was crazy. We were going on this trip somebody blessed us with. It was just amazing. We couldn't wait. And the night before, we got a phone call that a pipe had burst in the wall of our rental home back in Pennsylvania, and there was water damage.
We owned the home. We were renting it out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The home that was to be like rental income but was a rental loss, yes. We owned the home. Anyway, they called us to let us know that there was this issue and we had to fix it. And they went in, the guys called us back, and they were like, told us it was going to be like $1,200, $1,300, which we did not have. So it was just, it was a credit card situation. And just, I was like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this and how we're going to pay this, but we're going to trust you. And Nate's mom flew in, and she was praying for us and encouraging us. And while we were away and she was watching our kids, when our kids went to preschool or school or something one day, she went shopping at Salvation Army, because in Santa Monica, it's really good out there because all the rich people take their clothes to Salvation Army. It's good, good selections. And so she went thrifting, and while she was trying some stuff on, she tried on the skirt, and she felt something in the pocket, and she reached her hand inside, and she pulled out this wad of cash. She was like, what in the world? So she put it back in the pocket, and she went to the checkout, and she said, hey, I found a skirt with some money in it, and I didn't know if, like, anyone had lost any money, and they were like, nope, ma'am, if you buy the skirt, I guess it's yours. And she was like, oh, okay. So she paid the $4.99 or whatever it was for the skirt, and on her way out of the store, she called the police department. His mom is a rule follower. She does not want to do anything. She wants to follow by the rules. So she called the police. She was like, hey, did anyone report any money missing? And they were like, no, ma'am, it must be your lucky day. And so she got home and really felt like that God wanted us to have this money. And so we got back from our trip, and she handed us the Salvation Army bag, and she said, hey, there's something for you in this bag. I really believe that God is answering your prayers, and he's showing up in a miraculous way to show you that he's going to take care of you guys no matter what. And so we opened the bag, and there was a skirt. And I looked at her, I was like, it's a skirt. And she said, put your hand in the pocket. And so put her hand in the pocket, and we pulled out this wad of cash and just started counting it, 20, 40, 60, 80, 800, 900, 980. It was $1,000 in $20 bills that was shoved into this pocket. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it really felt like a coin in a fish's mouth kind of situation. And she said, God is taking care of you guys. You are being obedient, and he is showing up for you. And you don't have to worry. Even, and I will tell you this. I have not found $1,000 in a skirt or a pair of pants at Goodwill since. I check. But, and God, if you want to do that again, by all means. But I don't know how God's going to show up for you. I don't know what miracle he has waiting for you, but I just want to encourage you today that he can do anything. And we just go to him, prayer and petition, and in faith say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to provide, and he will provide for you. So just want to encourage you today.
Oh, well, hey, guys. My name is Samuel. And I want to share a quick little story with you guys about how the Lord just revealed his love to me in such a real way. And I want to encourage you with this story. I was sitting in a bench at my school, and I had a really big decision coming up in my life, probably one of the biggest decisions yet that I had to make. It was going to probably alter, whichever decision I made would have completely altered my life. And I remember sitting at this bench. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was wrestling for a couple weeks and praying, God, just please show me a miraculous sign, or please show up in the sky like a bright light and tell me what to choose. And I was really stressed out. I was like, God, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm 20 years old. What should I choose? Like, I don't want to ruin my life. I don't want to be outside of your will for my life. And I remember sitting at that bench at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Lord whispered to me in such a profound way. He said, Samuel, I love you. And I know that in church, God's love is what we preach about the most, right? We preach about God's love every week because it's so true. But sometimes God's love towards us comes through revelation from God. And it's until we truly understand God's love towards us that we can begin to believe it. And in that moment, I mean, I grew up in church my whole life, and I don't think I had ever truly felt in such a profound way what I felt in that at that time, in that moment, when God whispered into my ear and said, Samuel, I love you. And there was this equation that kind of popped into my mind, and it was kind of like, okay, God loves me, so that must equal that he has a plan for my life. And if God loves me, he has a plan for my life, that means that equals that he will never leave me. And there was just like so much revelation coming into my mind at that time. And I was sitting at that bench and I started to journal. I remember I started to journal what God was telling me. And I forgot to bring in the journal, but I remember saying in my journal, I was like, I have never experienced or felt God's love like this ever in my life. And he gave me this verse, and I want to share it to you guys as an encouragement. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And it says this, and listen to what it says in the first verse. It says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And as I step into this new season, as in this new year, 2026, there's one thing that I can be 100% sure about, and there's one thing that I can be grateful for by faith in this new year. It's that God loves me, and that if he loves me, he has a plan for my life, and if he has a plan for my life, then that means that whatever step I take, he will be the light every step. He will light up my path. Whatever journey, whatever path I take, he will be the one guiding me every step of the way. And so I want to encourage you, just like God told me at that bench in my school at 3 p.m. in the afternoon in February. Now remember, in February, I want to encourage you. There's a moment and there's a time that God wants, and I believe it's now, that God wants to remind you that he loves you so much. And that it doesn't matter what you face this year. It doesn't matter what you go through in 2026. You can have gratitude by faith, knowing that he's going to love you through it and guide you through it no matter what. So, yeah.
My name is Stephen, and it is a miracle. First of all, it's a miracle that I'm here, that I'm sitting here. I will be, God willing, 19 years clean and sober in next year. So it's crazy that I'm even here, that I'm sitting in a church, period. Well, even that I'm in a church at all, that's pretty crazy. But my life between 13 years old and 33 years old was just drugs and alcohol. I was just in total bondage, crazy life under certain circumstances. I was forced into a lockdown rehab facility, sober living. I never went to church as a kid. So to be on staff at the church is crazy. To be here is crazy. The whole thing's crazy. So when in my sober living house, when I was first getting sober, they said you have to go to AA meetings, and we have to check out what's called a court card. So you'd have to check. Okay, we had to do two meetings a day. So I missed one of my meetings, and if you don't get to all your meetings, your AA meetings, your 12-step meetings, if you don't get to all your meetings, you can get kicked out of the house. So I didn't have a meeting. I missed one of my meetings, and so I'm looking for recovery meetings to go to, and there was this little Pentecostal church. It was a four-square church in Venice Beach, and they had a meeting called Addicts for Christ. So I walked into this meeting, and this is a full Pentecostal church, and I had never been to a Pentecostal church, really never been to church that much at all, besides like weddings and funerals. And man, they were laying hands on these people, and people were crying and falling out in the spirit. And as a drug addict, as an alcoholic, I love to feel it, you know? So I felt it that day for really the first time, like the presence of God. And I just knew that this is the way, man. This is the way. This is the path to freedom, is through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So that was in early recovery. I had a sponsor telling me what to do. And what I realized about myself is I'd made a lot of bad choices. So typically I would make the wrong choice. So I was taught early on that gratitude is a choice. So what I didn't even realize I was doing was if I choose to be negative and focus on all the bad things in my life, and even subconsciously, I would create situations in my life that would drive me to drink, that would drive me to the bar, even give me an excuse to go drink or use drugs. So gratitude's a choice. I had a sponsor. He would have me do little sticky notes, and I would have to put them on. I thank God for my water. Thank God I have water today. Thank God I have electricity today. And it really kind of puts things into perspective. Crazy journey. And then I'm here on staff at a church, which is insane. Nathan is a great teacher. He talks about the river of God, like jump in the river of God. And to me, that's surrender. So I'm grateful, first of all, that I'm here, that I'm alive, that I have this beautiful life. And I'm just excited about what's going to happen, because if I just jump in the river and I get out of my own way, I can enjoy life, and I just know it's going to be awesome. So grateful to be here.
Wow, that's encouraging. I'm excited to hear you share such a testimony of gratitude and gratefulness. And upon reflection, my own life, I think it's probably back in my 30s, that I realized that, well, I'm not living a very grateful life. And more critical than grateful, more complaining than grateful. And I began to pray for an attitude of gratitude. And upon reflection, I really believe that gratefulness is a function of faith. That gratitude and thankfulness springs from just an abiding confidence in the promises, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And so I am grateful that, you know, back then I turned a corner toward, you know, expressing more gratefulness, more gratitude, thankfulness. And my gratitude became like three-dimensional. You know, I was grateful for what Jesus did for me, for us in the past. And I'm grateful for what he's doing for me and for each of us even right now. He's at work in us by his Spirit. And then I'm grateful for what Jesus is going to do for me and in me and through me in the future. And I know Pastor Nathan has asked us to, you know, reflect on and think about going into this new year, what we would be expressing our faith for, our, what we'd be grateful for. And I'm grateful for the promise and the declaration that's in Romans 8:28, where Paul said that our God causes all things to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So my faith, my gratefulness, my thankfulness is not, it's not dependent on what I have. It's not dependent on my performance. And it's not dependent on what happens to me. Because our God is so creative that he can cause all these things to work together for our good.
Well, I shared in first service that as the microphone was passing down the row, God just so clearly deposited something in me that I had not planned to share today at all. And so I feel like I'm just meant to share it again in this service. But part of the gratitude in advance for me, I'm a big believer that I'm not a believer in the name it and claim it gospel, because I am a big believer that we can't name and claim something outside of God's will for us. And I think it's so important when we come to him with our gratitude that it's in his will, like your will be done, and that we lay our agenda at the altar and really trust him in what that looks like, and giving him that that praise and what he's going to do and trusting him in that. I always say we have a choice to either trust him or not trust him, right? And so I choose to trust him in my life. And oftentimes it might not look like what I think it should look like or what I had planned it to look like, but to be able to surrender that to him and just lay it at the altar and trust him with it. Back in 2019, ministry partner and I somebody had come to us and said, hey, we really think that you guys should take Mom Life to the next level. This is meant to be all over the world. And we're just kind of like, that was never our dream or our passion. We just wanted to serve the moms in the local church. And so we prayed about it and we're like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And we started writing curriculum and we started getting excited and all these things were happening. And then 2020 hit. And we all know what happened in 2020, and nobody was meeting in churches, and we didn't know how long that was going to last or what that looked like. In the meantime, we had a miscarriage, and we had lost a baby, which was a miracle that I thought God gave us. I was like, we're going to have another baby. I'm so excited. I would have 10 more if I was 10 years younger. And we lost it, and I actually didn't believe the doctor, and I went and got a second opinion. And it got so bad that finally the doctor was like, you are going to get an infection. Like, you have to let this baby go. Because I was believing for a miracle that this wasn't really happening. And to be able to praise God in that and say, thank you, God, whatever you have planned, I trust you, is hard, but it's so freeing. And little did I know that year, in the summer of 2020, we got offered a podcast from K-Love Radio. And, oh, this is what's going to happen now because we can't meet in churches. And it was just like God shows himself and redeems himself. And I remember a friend of mine saying to me in that season, I should have grabbed my tissue this time. A friend of mine saying to me in that season, you're birthing something new. God's giving you something else to birth that's new. And I didn't want to hear that from her because I wanted to birth a baby. I wanted more children. And I was like, yeah, God, like God's doing something new and I'm birthing something new. And it was this ministry. And so God's just been so faithful in that, to have an international podcast and trusting God's plan in that, which is hard to do when I want my agenda, right? But to be able to align my will with God's will. And every time I pray, I always say, your will be done. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Whatever that looks like, I trust you, God. I always say that every time I pray. And a couple of the things that I'm really believing for in the new year I'll go back just a little bit, because something that I'm always reminded of that I want to share with you today is, even in deepest, darkest times when we don't understand things, I think about Paul, who was in prison, and he rejoiced to the Lord. And he even repeated it, and he said, again, I say rejoice. And when I can feel so, you know, have a pity party for myself and feel so sorry for myself because I didn't get what I wanted, I go back and I think about Paul and how he was rejoicing in a prison cell, and how much greater how grateful I am and that I can rejoice in that. And oftentimes, you know, we don't see God's hand in everything. And when I can't see his hand moving and I don't see that he's there or he's doing anything, I know that I can trust his heart. And I know that his heart is good, and I know that his heart is for me. And so there is such a freedom in that, to be able to trust God and know his heart. And so a few things that I'm believing God for in gratitude for the new year and trusting him in is, you know, I'm very passionate about the church, about the Big C Church. Like, my heart is just there, and it's especially right here in the Little C Church here at Graceland Church. And I'm such a big believer, for those of you that know me, in raising up leaders. And my heart is to see the Graceland Women's Ministry just grow and flourish to where it has a reach on every woman that we touch in this community. To see some of you women take ownership in your church, in your family, and to be able to rise up. And that has been a prayer of mine this year. And I'm believing that God is going to fulfill that in several of you women, to step up and to take ownership and just really be able to do that. I have to tell you, there are so many times we've had women's ministry events here, whether it's a Seek First worship night or a taco night or whatever. And every single time we have women that come from other churches that will register, or they'll bring a friend or whatever. And every single time they say, I've never felt so loved and accepted. It feels so good here. Everybody is so kind, and like they can feel the love of Jesus from them. And I don't want to put a hold or a stop on that, ladies. I want to call all of you a little bit higher than what you're doing right now, to be able to reach the women of this community. And I'm believing for that. I'm believing that there's going to be some leaders that are going to rise up in this church. And the other thing that I'm believing for in advance that's on my prayer list this year is, we will start back the podcast next year, but we've taken a step back because we know that God has called us. We kind of put the curriculum on the back burner when we took the podcast. And we know that we have so many churches that are asking for Mom Life, and we can't get there. And so we're starting a fundraising campaign, and we have all of our ducks in a row. And it's like, we're kind of like stuck on like, well, how do we get there? We need money to do this. We can't do it without that. And so I'm believing for God in that campaign. I'm believing in God that he's going to provide everything that we need, so that if there's, you know, to be able to reach the community beyond all the fun we have on, you know, with our food and our speakers and all that stuff, but to be able to reach the mom who's struggling, that's suffering, to be an outreach ministry to women all over the country, to be like, hey, we can help you. Because I know that there are moms that are struggling, whether it's here, whether it's in the Midwest, whether it's down south, there's people struggling, and we want to be able to help them in a much broader scale than coming together and joining together as a large group, but on a personal level with them. So I'm truly believing that God's going to allow that to happen this year, and trusting him in that. So
I love taking a pause from our normal routine and sharing stories. I think Pastor Nathan's an amazing teacher. So, but it's awesome to take a beat and hear stories of God's testimony. As we were sitting around just now, it's like I had this thought of like, this is our Thanksgiving table. I wish we were eating right now, but this is our Thanksgiving table, and we're sharing stories of how God has been faithful in our lives. And I don't know if you have noticed this or not, but in the Bible, God called the people of Israel to make altars all the time because he wanted them to remember his faithfulness. And I just got this phrase. It's like, man, we are in a world, in a generation, obsessed with remembering things. Like, we have our phones, and like we're in the moment, and we're like, I want to remember this. 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 And we're like so caught up in it. Yeah, you just took a photo. He wants to remember this. But how quick, I don't know, I'm convicted. It's like, man, I want to remember all these memories with my kids, but how quick am I to forget God's faithfulness in my life? How quick am I to forget? I'm obsessed with remembering the sweet steak I had last weekend, but I'm so quick to forget the amazing miracle God did in my life. And so these moments are powerful because it's a ritual of taking a breath and saying, no, we as a community, we're going to remember that God is real and that he is moving today in people's lives. And I'm looking into a room right now of over 100 people, and I can look in every single one of you and I can say there's been a miracle in your life. There's been a moment where God's moved in your life. And we could go on for hours of God's testimonies of faithfulness. And so I'm just going to share a really quick one. I've never shared this here at church, but something that my wife and I went through a couple years ago that was actually really profound. And it kind of just came and went, and we just moved on with our life. But about a year after our first son was born, Navy, my wife started developing some fatigue and weakness. And for those of you who know my wife, her name's Caitlin, and she already wrestles with a neuromuscular disease called SMA, spinal muscular atrophy. So it makes it kind of hard for her to move around already. But she was starting to notice that she was getting exceptionally weak. And it got harder and harder to walk, and it got harder and harder to move. And she couldn't even go around the house. Like, she had to sit on the couch a lot. She had to take naps a lot. And we're like, what is happening? And we were going into a spiral of fear, and we were going into a spiral of like depression and like sadness, because we thought, oh, this is your SMA like progressing, and this is like what's going to happen to your life. This is like your destiny. And it was really, really, really hard. And I remember we went on a trip to Chicago. We wanted to go see Elevation Worship, do their concert. And we went, and I remember it was such a struggle to just even get around. We had to get a wheelchair to get around because it was so hard. And I remember we were praying and singing, and we're just believing for a miracle at that worship concert. And the miracle didn't come, and it didn't vanish in that moment. But I had a sense of urgency in my heart that God was calling me to pray, and God was calling me to take action. And so I started waking up a little bit earlier in the morning because I felt like, you know, my family was under attack. And so I was getting up early, and if you know me, this is not what I like to do. So I was getting up early, and I was like, I guess I'm going to go on these walks. I might as well get some exercise while I'm doing it. So I was going on these walks, and I was praying and petitioning and believing for God to do a miracle, and it wasn't coming. But we were like, all right, let's go to the doctor. Let's get this figured out. So we went to the doctor, and they're like, let's do some blood tests. Come to find out, it wasn't her SMA progressing, but it was actually she had developed what was called Graves' disease, which is common in a postpartum, and it's where your thyroid is either overactive or underactive, one of those two. But because of her SMA, her symptoms were way more severe, right? And so it was so extreme. So they said, hey, good news, we got a treatment. We're going to put you on this pill, and it's going to level you out. And so we were like, okay, praise God. Here's our miracle. We finally figured it out. So she started taking the medicine, and she got better. And they're like, all right, great. Like, you're going to be on this medicine for the rest of your life because your thyroid's all messed up. But, you know, it's super common. And we're like, there's no way that she's going to be in remission or not have to take this anymore. And we're like, they said, no, that this is just how it is. We didn't really like that answer. And we were believing, come on, God, we don't want to be on medicine for the rest of our life. And so we continue to pray. We continue to believe. And then she went in for a 6-month checkup, and they're like, whoa, you need to slow down. Like, Dose down. Don't be taking too much because you're actually going all the way to the other end. And then it kind of tapered off. And then they're like, yeah, you should probably stop taking this for now. Like, we need to just see how it levels out. And then so she stopped taking the drugs. And then 6 months later, they went in. They're like, yeah, like, you're in the clear. Like, you're good. You don't need to take that anymore. Let's just have you stop taking it for another 6 months. And so we're like, all right, another 6 months. So we went in for like a year and a half later. We're like, okay, so are we in remission now? They're like, well, we're not going to say that, but yeah, you don't have to do this anymore. And it was just a total miracle of God, because we even had a scare. Maybe it was this year. She's like, maybe my Graves' disease is back. She went in just this year, you know, years later. And she got checked on. Yep, still good. Like, God completely healed her of her Graves' disease. And it was such a powerful moment because God is real, and he really does miracles. And, you know, it's not always the answered prayer isn't always on this side of heaven. And we know that. And that's something that my wife and I have wrestled with, because we've prayed and believed for miracles that didn't end up the way that we wanted them to in that moment. But we know that God does move. And I wanted to share this scripture, if that's okay, to take another 2 seconds here, Nathan. But it's in Hebrews 11. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And that word assurance isn't like assurance is like certainty. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for. And where does that certainty come from? It comes from remembering who our God is and remembering what our God does. And our God does miracles. And if you know your Bible, in Hebrews, it then goes into this, the hall of faith is what it's called. And it goes through all of these people that were examples of faith. And that's why testimony is so powerful. We're hearing this hall of faith of God coming through, God coming through, God coming through, God doing miracles. And then the author of Hebrews ends it by saying, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses," meaning, therefore, we have heard the testimony over and over and over again about how good God is, "let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And that word endurance, how many know, like, that doesn't sound like a sprint. When you're running for endurance, it's a marathon. You guys know life's a marathon, and like a walk with Jesus isn't a one-moment thing. It's a lifetime with him. It says, "Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the perfect image of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And I just wanted us to slow down as we're thinking about 2026, and we're thinking about what we're going to be grateful for by faith. For us, is that, you know, this is family time. God is real. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We could be up here for hours, and you could come up to the mic and come up to the mic, and we could hear time and time again about how good God is. So what's the response? Let's cast off all the sin and the weight that clings so closely, and let's look to Jesus, and let's run our life looking at him. And so I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for 2026. I'm believing we're going to sit up here with a bunch of you in 6 months' time, a year's time, and hear more and more clouds of witnesses of God's faithfulness.
Come on, let's hear it for our staff. We're about to close, and it just strikes me that this team that is serving and leading and equipping you for ministry, have you noticed that every single one of them has ample reason, if they wanted to not give thanks? In other words, there are public ministry happening and even elevation and expansion happening in people's lives, but privately, they're still suffering. And there still has to be the daily, monthly, and annual choice. I'm going to have gratitude by faith. There's a different story that everyone on this panel could be living, where they're complaining and they're afraid, and they deal with it, obviously, and we deal with it, but they're going down an entirely different path. Instead, they're saying yes to gratitude by faith, and God transforms all of the scenarios, and their lives become a poured out offering unto the church. Isn't that beautiful? And God, and isn't that beautiful? God calls you to that as well. And what we're going to do is, in just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing gratitude, that song. And as we do, think about a few specific things if you hadn't written them down yet, and write them on your card as we sing and raise our hands in worship. And as we prepare to do that, I want to remind you that next Sunday and the Sunday after, we're coming up on our Kingdom Builders Miracle Offering. I'm not going to share all the details now at all, but take a pamphlet, go online, click the Miracle Offering button, prayerfully read through it. Part of walking in the promise of provision is sowing seed when God asks us to, letting resource flow through us, even when we feel like we don't have a lot extra to do with. Even when sometimes, can't tell you how many times Jess and I have given away the little bit of money that we thought we needed by faith because we felt like he called us to, only while at the same time he then provides even more for us. It's like over and over and over and over and over and over again in our lives. It is just the story of our lives. And I want to show you a 30-second clip from one of our new Kingdom Builders partners. And I want to give you a preview too next Sunday. You'll only see it if you're here in person. I'm going to show you two clips from one of our new partners in Iran and Russia. And incredible things God is doing. We'll have to kill our live stream while we're showing that because it's sensitive areas. Incredible things that God is doing. But here's one that we can show from our partner in downtown Memphis.
For adding us to your Kingdom Builders campaign. Thank you so much. Behind me is you guys sowing the seed into what's going on in downtown Memphis. This is our new building. We just closed on it a couple weeks ago, and so renovations start sometime next year, but I just want to let you know that you guys are a part of the story that's going on downtown. Because of your faithfulness, because of the seed that you've sown, lives will be transformed. We're literally between a jail system and a school system. And so God put us in the center as a seed of hope for both. And so thank you guys so much for adding us to your Kingdom Builders Fund. Thank you so much for supporting us and believing in us. We love you guys. Have a blessed Sunday. See you guys sometime soon. Bye.
Isn't that amazing? I remember when I met Jeremy a couple years ago, we had him come minister here, and he shared the dream of purchasing a building in downtown Memphis, which they had no way of doing. And they've been planting a church there for 8 years. And in that 2 years, God has provided that building, and we've gotten to be a part of that story through our Kingdom Builders giving. And that's going to be part of this offering. Can you stand with me all around the room? And can we thank our staff one more time? You guys can take your seats. We're going to close right after this, but can we spend a few minutes just, let's press into the presence of God. I invite you to pray, do business with the Lord, and ask him how he's calling you to go into 26 with gratitude by faith. Let's sing this out.